In our everyday lives, there are signs that we see almost everywhere. Signs like danger, maybe a sign that says stay away, or maybe curves ahead. Just think a moment, if you will, just the different signs that you see in your daily lives. I think everybody might have drove here, probably saw a stop sign along the way or a speed limit sign. Signs are meant to help us. They are meant to provide us information. Sometimes they provide us warning, protect us from harm. And again, some signs may restrict us. So I'd like us to stop and think about this sign, authorized personnel only. Here again, we see that this sign restricts. It suggests a prior approval, and it suggests that it must be obeyed. And then also when we consider the sign, we might also wonder, well, who is allowed? Who has that authority? And might I gain that same authorization? So this lesson, I got a small confession to make here. This was not the lesson I prepared for today. I was doing a study on the IMs recorded in John. And I was really getting into it and got onto that because of some life events that happened at home. And I knew today we're going to get into the light conversation in our adult class. And then something occurred to me to go back and look at our website at some previous lessons. And I don't know what happened in January. We were sick, traveling, I don't quite recall. But I had missed Cody when he had presented I Am the Vine. So about midweek, I kind of panicked, got with Carly, and I said, well, this seems like I'm duplicating a lot of things. So I grabbed one out of my archives. This is a very early lesson that I presented in my life. I've tried to modify it. I've given it slides. It didn't have slides back then. I'm going to warn you, I am a person that enjoys a lot of verses. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea. So I've tried to strip out some and add in its place, practical life, hopefully some examples and things that we can think about. But my goal here is really, if you only take away one point, there's something to study at home, then I felt like I've done my job today. Oops. So just real quick, on the word of authority itself. If you happen to be studying from a New International Version of the Bible, you'll see the word authority roughly 48 times. If you use an English Standard Version, you'll see it roughly 51 times. If you prefer New King James, like I do, you'll see roughly 58 times the word authority or a version. And if you study from the original King James, you will see that the word is there 73 times. So I ask that you consider the word and the importance of the word authority. And in this lesson, again, I want to study why unauthorized personnel will not enter into heaven. So the first point I want to talk about is unauthorized personnel will not enter heaven without Christ's approval. There are many places where we see this in the Bible. First place I'd like to read here is Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Getting a slight delay there, so. But anyways, Jesus obviously was very clear with his message there in 28:18. He is the King of all. We can also see in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 26-27, "For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man." And also, if we think back to our VBS, when we were looking at Acts, in chapter 10, it says, verse 42, And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Now here, if we again think back, Luke records Peter actually preaching. And this first part of verse 42 here, I want to draw attention to. This relates back to Matthew 28 that I was just talking about, that we refer to as the Great Commission. And we can see here the point that I want to call out here in Acts 10:42 is not only is Christ the judge, but Peter tells us that we should be teaching that and preaching it. And I don't know about everybody here, but myself, when I think about my life and trying to model after Christ, that I have to stand in front of him and explain to Christ the things that I did or didn't do in this life, that gives me goosebumps. Unauthorized personnel will not enter heaven if their name is not written in the book of life. I'd like to take a look here at Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So as we read here in Revelation, that the works will be judged, as we read in the New Testament, we ought to also have faith with our works, do we not? So my next point that I would like to call out here is unauthorized personnel will not enter heaven if their faith is not in Christ. John 14 and 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I still snuck an I am in here. So, but and I sure hope that someday we do get a deep dive on the IMs. But the point that I want to make out here is Christ delivered the IMs in such a way that we can understand them in all time. But we can read those IMs and understand them well, even though the Jews at the time said that they didn't understand it, as John recorded. I think that some, as we can read, obviously chose not to understand Christ. But it was a simple thing that Christ says here. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's very simple to me. It's very logical. This is why we end our prayers the way we do, either in Jesus' name or in Christ's name. We only get to God through Christ. I also want to take a quick look here at John 20, verse 29, the second part of verse 29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now this is a passage in John that we refer to as the Doubting Thomas passage. And I think this is a verse that we could quickly skim over and not give a lot of consideration to, considering what was going on at the time Christ presenting himself as he was resurrected. But here again, just as I mentioned in the IMs of Christ being very plain, I think this verse is for all time. And feel free to raise your hand, but who here in this building has seen Christ with their own eyes? I don't think anybody here can claim that. So Christians today, we are required to believe in Christ without actually ever having seen him. And Christ himself said we are blessed because of that. And that gives me a lot of comfort. So we continue on thinking about authorization. Unauthorized personnel will not enter heaven if their treasure is not there. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. So I urge you, maybe later, if you take note, to continue reading there in 1 Peter. And pay close attention to how Paul draws notice to the Christian living hope of eternal inheritance. Likewise, if we look at Luke 12, verse 29 through 34, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, and no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I think when we are studying the ministry and the parables that Jesus taught with, again, I've said this a few times now, I think we got to go back and look at the simple things that Christ said. Here again in verse 34, we see that Christ quite plainly stated that our hearts follow our treasure. So I'd like to kind of pause here and maybe give a personal example. Several here are familiar, for those visiting or maybe not familiar with what I've been dealing with at home past several months. The short of it is we've not had a kitchen for 9 months due to some problems with the contractor. And before I say more, I would like to say on behalf of Carly and the kids, myself, thank you to all that have shown, you know, your concern or offered help in some way, or maybe even a prayer. Again, thank you. But on this example, these verses that we just talked about, laying your treasure into heaven, have been spoken in our house quite a bit in those past few months that I just mentioned. And when I talk to folks that are outside the church, I can see it on their faces. They don't understand it. Or they might even be as bold to ask me, well, why are you being so patient with that contractor? Why don't you already have a lawyer? And this and that and the other. And of course, depending on the situation and how I may answer that said question to them, the look of surprise on their face. And they don't just quite understand or believe what I'm telling them. You see, to me, it's a simple choice. And sometimes in our lives, when things get out of what we consider our control, we can start to feel like Job, maybe. And everybody's version of that is different. Mine is different than yours. And even when sometimes when you look at somebody else's, it may feel, well, boy, that what they're saying is a mountain seems like a molehill, and vice versa. But for that person, or when you personally are going through that in your life, it's real, is it not? You feel it. So you can feel, depending on what that situation is, you can feel cheated, you can feel lied to, and you can feel that you've been robbed. But that choice that I was talking about is, this is where the trust of Christ comes in. And I challenge that at these times in your life, we can't hold on to the things of this world so tightly. You put your trust in Christ, and the goal of heaven shall far outweigh anything that we got going on in this world. And if we put our inheritance and our treasure into heaven, then we will win that ultimate reward. So, for at the end of the day, for myself, that kitchen doesn't really matter. I'll never take that kitchen with me if I leave this earth. But rather, did I hold true to laying my treasure up into heaven, no matter what the cost? Can I stand before the judgment of Christ that we talked about earlier? And can Christ, whether other people are in the church or not, if Christ asked me, did you sue your brother or did you sue your sister? Can I answer him no? These get a little tougher for me when I say them out loud. If Christ asked me, was I patient with them and did I turn the other cheek? Can I stand there and answer yes? So if there's anything that we do need is to not give up our hope and our trust in Christ. Fight the good fight with Christ. The struggle is to not allow Satan to take advantage of that situation. We must, again, press on to that goal of heaven. This is a variation of the same sign that we got in our bedroom. And again, it's a reminder to let go and focus on the things of heaven. And as my mom rang in my ears several times growing up, this too shall pass. I'm sure we've probably all heard that somewhere along the way in our own lives. And I didn't speak to it, but I had it on there briefly in a slide there, Romans 5. Romans 5 gives me a lot of comfort. I really love the book of Romans. I love all the books of the Bible, but I think Romans is my favorite, so I encourage you to read Romans 5. So again, back to us here today. The challenge, again, is to not think in a worldly manner. We should be practical to our approach in heaven. And we should always strive to focus on the things of heaven and trust in Christ. So as we continue our thoughts, unauthorized personnel will not enter heaven if they are unclean. First John 1, verse 7. I told you I'd get back to it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I just didn't tell you it was going to be the back part of the verse. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood. Mark 14 and 24, a verse there that's very familiar to us, common for us to use it each Lord's Day when we surround the table and have remembrance of Christ and His sacrifice. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We understand that Christ has shed His blood for the remission of sins. And that by doing so, He did provide that new covenant. And this new covenant, this new agreement, it's everlasting. It's eternal. And this agreement, if we uphold our end of the deal, Christ will give us that authorization to enter into heaven. It is His blood that makes us clean. Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now you may question why I put this to the back side of the thought versus first. But like I like to do sometimes, I would like to encourage you to contrast this verse. If we are unclean, then therefore we cannot be pure. And if we are not pure, then we obviously here, as we read, cannot see God. God cannot tolerate sin. So when we do face that final judgment and stand before Christ, where is God? God is in heaven. So I again urge you to examine yourself, because we all need that cleansing and forgiveness through Christ's blood. So in closing, I just want to leave you with a few open-ended questions, maybe for you to jot down and do some other study. I've only just scratched the surface here on authorized for heaven. Are you living as a citizen of heaven? Are you investing in heavenly treasures? Are you authorized by faith in Christ? And are you cleansed by Christ's blood? This is my lesson for you today. Again, I pray that I've given you something to think about, maybe study on your own. If there's anybody here today that has any needs to be brought before the congregation, or if you would like to fix your authorization to enter into heaven and put Christ in your heart, I ask that you join us up front as we stand and sing.